Start off, I'll go ahead and share a dirty little secret about life. Maybe it's not a little secret, maybe it's a big one. I don't know. And it's this. A lot of the time, a lot of us feel like we don't know what we're doing. We just keep on making up as we go along. I remember when I got married, I remember I was like 22, darling. It was the morning of the wedding. I was sitting on a cabin out on the porch. It was a blue sky. I'm like, Lord, I have no idea how to do this. How do I love someone every day? How do I love someone more than myself? Because I'm really good at loving me. I'm not good at loving anybody else. I remember when my daughter was born, Angelina. After like 2 days, they kicked us out of the hospital and told us to leave. We put the kid in a little car seat thing. We go out the door, and it's like no one came home with us. There was no manual. It was like, you'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know how to keep this kid alive. We went home and put the kid, like we both sat in chairs with the kid between us and just stared at the kid for a while. Like, is this okay? Like, I don't know what to do. When I first met Jesus, started following him, I didn't know how to pray. The Bible was so big. How do you read this thing? How do you hold on to Jesus when the wind and the waves threaten to overtake you? How do we grow? How do we change? How do we learn? The Bible has an answer for this. How do we learn how to be a person? Jesus, before he left, he said, listen, I want you to go and make disciples. This is God's answer. God says, I want you to go and teach people how to follow me, how to live my way. Go and shape people and form people according to my precepts and my values. They want to learn about shaping people and forming people, how we grow. You see, in Acts 16, we meet two very important people. We meet Paul and we meet Timothy. These two names have become shorthand for discipleship, for people forming. I literally met a guy a few months ago who told me, Pastor, I just need a Paul in my life. And what he meant was, I need someone older than me to show me how to do this. Someone to hold my hand and help me become the person God intends me to be. I need a Paul. He was telling me, I need a spiritual father. And Timothy is a picture of spiritual, like, childhood. Like, Paul will call Timothy my spiritual son. We need spiritual moms and dads. We have been called to make spiritual children. But how do we do this? How do we form people? How do we shape people? How do we disciple people? We find this relationship between Paul and Timothy is a great picture of how to do it. We started very simply. People forming requires formed people. People forming requires formed people. Say it another way, you can say it this way. You can't make disciples if you're not a disciple. You can't show someone the way if you don't know the way. For example, I'm not going to teach someone how to box. You know why? I don't know how to box. I watched, there's a clip going around right now. There's a fight coming up in July. The great Iron Mike Tyson is going to fight some young punk named Jake something something. Some YouTube guy. I don't know what his name is. Jake Paul. So Mike Tyson releases a training video. He's 57 years old. And Iron Mike is still terrifying. He's in the ring just, and I'm like, there's no amount of money you could pay me to be his spirit partner for 3 minutes. Ain't going to happen. I'm going to go to the hospital when that's over. Because I'm not a boxer. I can't teach someone how to do something I don't know. So if I want to shape someone towards Jesus Christ, guess what? I got to know Jesus Christ. Paul knows Jesus. We're in Acts 16. Well, back in Acts chapter 9, Paul, his name was Saul back in those days. And Saul was on the road going to Damascus. He had his little man bag. He had letters signed from the high priest in Jerusalem giving him authority to arrest the leaders of the Christian church. He had with him armed guards to enforce his decrees. On the road to arrest believers in Christ, a light shines in the road. And Paul and his companions are stopped. And he hears a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul meets Jesus. And it changes his life. Saul takes a new name, Paul, and Paul's life goes from hunting down Christians to giving birth to Christians, to making more of them, to preaching Christ and seeing churches birthed all across Asia Minor. Paul loves Jesus. Paul worships Jesus. Paul speaks Jesus. And because Paul is full of the Holy Spirit, that anointing pours out of him onto the people he's around. What is in you is going to rub off on other people. If we want to shape people, to form people, we have to not only meet Jesus and be saved by Jesus, we must continue to walk with Jesus on a day-by-day reality. If I want my kids to know the Lord, guess what? I cannot give that job to the church. Say, "Church, you teach my kids what's true." That falls to us as parents. My kids will learn to pray because they see me praying, hear me praying. I pray for them. I pray with them. My kids will learn about honesty because they see me being honest. The day we're out buying Faygo, we're at the farmer's market downtown, get some Faygo for the kids. And I give the lady a 5 spot. It's like $2.80. She gives me $17 back. I give her 5, gives me 17 bucks back. And I was looking, I'm like, it's the bread and the fishes, bro. It's like, it just multiplies in my hands. No, but I know she made a mistake. And so I'm like, "Ma'am, you gave me too much. I give you a 5. I keep the 2, give her the 15 back. And we just walk away. I don't even say nothing because the kids saw that. They see we're honest even though it might benefit us to be dishonest. If we want to form people, if we want to shape people, we have to be near the fire. We must be near the Christ so we have something to give to the people. If you want to shape, if you want to form people, you must get formed by Jesus yourself. Paul was able to pour into Timothy because Paul was near the Lord. Paul was able to say, and it's a very bold thing to say. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." How crazy is that? Paul said, "Follow me as I'm following Jesus." 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Be an imitator of me as I imitate the Lord." How many of us can say that? If you want to form people, you must get formed by the Lord. Number two. This is probably the hardest part. This is the part that makes me... How, let's say, I'm with Jesus, I love Jesus, I pray to Jesus, I'm near Jesus, I love Jesus, I want to give love of Christ to everyone I meet, I want to give away this grace to the people I know and love. Here's the hard thing. Forming people is relational. It ain't fast. It ain't no microwave. It's a crock pot, baby. You put that on, you wait 20 years, and maybe you got a disciple at the end of it. Paul realizes very early, in order to help someone grow into a person, it requires attention and time. And Paul learned this from Jesus. Jesus had 12 dudes he poured 3 years into. And guess what? One of those 12 knifed him. Which tells us, even if we invest in people and love them and pour our life for them, they might fail us. They might betray us. They might leave us. That's not a failure, though. It is not a failure to love people. It's not a failure to give people what we got to give. It's not a failure. Christ giving his love to Judas Iscariot was not a failure. Christ loved him even though he knew this man's going to knife me. I'm going to love him anyway, all the way to the end. So Paul learned from Christ the only way to grow Timothy into the man he's going to become is to spend time with him. So Timothy, listen to what happens. It says this. Paul also arrived at Derbe and at Lystra. Behold, a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. His father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted this man to go with him. Now, just so you know, this is not Paul's first time meeting this family. This is Paul's second missionary journey. On the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas come to Galatia. They come to Derbe and Lystra, and this is probably when Timothy, his mom, and grandma become Christians. Paul was there, told them the gospel, they become believers in Christ. Timothy, when he first meets Paul, probably 9 years old. Now he's back 3 to 5 years later. Timothy's like 13 years old. And Timothy has a hunger for the Lord. Timothy's dad, the way it says it, he's the son of a Jewish woman. His father was a Greek. That Greek word was implies his father is no more. He is dead. So Timothy's being raised by his mom and his grandma. His dad is dead. And Paul goes, listen, Timothy, I want you to come with me and Silas. I'm going to put my arm around you. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you how to walk in this world. I'm going to be a spiritual father to you. That requires relationship. It ain't easy. It ain't fast. We learn you must have quantity to have quality. You must have quantity of time to have quality time. I'll explain what I'll illustrate this point. So I have kids. I want to give my kids the grace, the love, the truth of Christ. I want to give it to them so bad. How do I give it to them? How do I shape them towards the Lord? Well, here's the reality. I can't just come home for 10 minutes and go, hey, kids, I got 5 minutes. Let's have a meaningful moment. Go. It doesn't work that way, does it? I can't come home for my wife. Hey, babe, I got to go to the softball game tonight, so let's have a romantic moment. Go. That's not how it works. Instead, this is how it goes. Instead, with the kids, we spend all this mundane time together. Because with little kids, it's crazy. You do the same thing over and over again and never get tired of it. You ever see that with kids? You roll a ball to a kid, rolls it back. They have half an hour. They don't get bored. It's the weirdest thing. I'm like, are you done with this yet? Like, this is, we've been here for half an hour. There's, oh, every time they laugh. Oh. Me and the girl once were watching this cartoon. She loves cartoons and stories. We're watching this cartoon called Brave. It's a Pixar film. Beginning of the movie, a bear attacks the family. Real scary, like, rah, bear, you know. And the dad jumps in front of the mom and the daughter and pulls a sword out and he goes, come on, you! And he's drawn really short and squat. I'm like, that's a good man, right? That's a good dad. And so that scene happens and it's like the start movie, Brave, and the music starts. And my daughter's like, Dad. I'm like, yeah. And I'm watching the movie. I'm like, what? She's like, she's sitting over here on a chair. I'm sitting over here on the couch. She goes, why did he jump at the bear? I'm like, oh, Lena, he's their dad, and dads take care of their daughters. Dads defend their daughters. So I say that. I say it kind of just out of the side of my mouth, like, shh, movie's on, you know? All of a sudden, I feel a little tiny pressure on my knee. I look down, and it's little Lena, little four-year-old Lena. And she climbs into my lap, and she pushes herself into me. And I'm like, I just put my arms around her. And I guess what happened was she saw that moment, saw that dad defending his daughter, and she must have thought in her little mind, I have a dad who will defend me. And she came up, got on my lap, and it was a moment. I can't make that moment happen. I'm glad. I mean, I'm like, who cares what this movie are? I love you so much. Like, it's one of the moments. It's a moment. You can't buy it. You can't create it. But over, you have all this mundane time, which allows for these powerful moments of quality. There's an ocean of just mundaneness and sameness, everydayness. But sometimes there's this, never forget moment. If we want to shape our children, if we want to shape the Timothys in our lives towards the Lord, it requires us to give our attention, our time, our love, our energy to our Timothys. We must be sacrificially giving to people to help them grow towards Jesus. When I was a youth pastor back in the day, I was a junior high youth minister. We had this ministry called the Timothy Project. Timothy Project was simply any kids who want to go deeper with the Lord can come and sign up for this Timothy Project. And it was a whole application process. You had to, like, memorize some verses, give your testimony. We had like 12 kids our first time. I was like, 12 kids? It's oh, it's, oh, it's the apostles. You know, it's We did Timothy Project for 5 years, had like 3 classes of kids come through that thing. And those kids, they're in that crew. The majority of them are still following Christ this day. Those kids are still my Timothys. When they get married, we rejoice. When they have a baby, I say my babies are having babies because they're my spiritual kids growing up. We love them like they're ours, because they're ours in the faith. The way Paul calls Timothy, my son in the faith, we have some of those because we chose to open our lives to these young kids and give them what we had to give, our time, our affection, our wisdom. We walked with them towards Jesus. If you want to influence souls, that's all that matters. Listen, that's the only thing you leave behind in this life. The hobbies, the knickknacks you collect when you die, no one cares about them. They throw them all away. I got a secret board game collection in my basement. It's pretty impressive. When I die, no one's going to care. It's like, why does he have all these little stinking board games with cool little metal pieces? No one's going to care. What matters is, who did we pour our lives in for the sake of the gospel? I was at a funeral yesterday for a sweet elderly woman. You see, 21 years ago, I started off in ministry. I was the new guy, so they gave me all the crap jobs. And one of the bad jobs was there was this little tiny service in the basement of the church. It was the 7:30 a.m. service. There was an 8:30 service with hymns, but the 7:30 was like for the super hymn old people. Like, I mean, it was like, we don't want electric piano. We want the old upright. We want the people, someone leading with their hands, like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, they wanted that. There's like 25 people in this church basement at the 7:30 a.m. service. And Ernesto, you go to that service and take care of it. Unlock the door every Sunday. Be the minister there. So I did. And the Van Camp family, they were down there. Dave led worship, and his wife, she was one of the hostesses, just caring for everybody. When I first started ministry, they let me preach down there, and only down there, because they're like, you don't know what you're doing. You preach down in the basement. And some of those early sermons were really bad. Some of those early sermons, I was just like, just saying random stuff that I read that week. Like, I was reading this book, and it was great. It was just crazy. I was saying nonsense every week. those old saints, they saw in me potential for ministry. And they would, like Mr. Van Camp would like say things to me like, you know, you're getting better. Like, there was this one line one of the guys said, he said, don't stack the hay where the cows can't eat it. And I'm like, there's no cows in here. But he meant, stop talking all this college crap. Tell what the Bible says. They chose to give what they had in the Lord to this young kid just starting off. And I've never forgotten it. They came around me and showed me how, like, I remember one time, I'd sometimes come in and sit in the back and just wait for him to get there. Because I was like, this is my job to open the door. He was like, if you're going to be down here, care for these people. Like, taught me how to be a minister. It's all we leave behind. Who did we pour our lives out for? At the funeral, there were a lot of people in that room blessed by that old woman. That's a legacy worth leaving. If you want to form a soul, if you want to form a person, it requires relationship. Lastly, if you want to form a person, forming people is intentional. It is intentional. It's not merely a friendship. I don't know why in America we think friendship is the only relationship that matters. For some reason, we think if any other relationship in the world is lower than friendship. Listen, my call as a dad is not to be my kid's friend. I'm not, they have plenty of friends at school. They need a father and a mother, right? There's times they will hate me, and that's okay. Tell the girl and I fight every single week about that stinking cell phone. The cell phone for emergencies, put it on the stinking charger. I want to play on it. I don't care what you want. Put it away. I get a, she can give me a look, dude. Well, a knife. She's like, whoosh, like, put it away. Like, it's, I hold the line because I'm daddy. She's like, don't you trust me? I might trust you. I don't trust all the wolves who want to eat you. Paul is not merely Timothy's buddy. This is what Paul does right away. Verse 3, Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew his father was a Greek. What's going on here? Paul is half Jewish, half Greek. He can walk in both worlds, if you will. But he was raised more on his dad's side most of his life. Now he's a believer in Christ, and Paul goes, Timothy, I want you to come with me and Silas. But here's the deal. We minister to a lot of Jews and Greeks, but the Jews will not receive you because you are not circumcised according to Mosaic law. If you do this thing, you open the door for more ministry. He's like, I know it's inconvenient. I know it's painful, buddy. But allow you to be a more effective minister. He guides Timothy to make him a more effective gospel servant. It's not merely friendship. It is this being pushed towards greatness, betterness. I had a young man that was, I had a role of a call in his life, and he wanted to be a pastor, and he wanted to get some tattoos on his hands. And I told him, out of love, I said, listen, you already got ink on your arms. I don't, you know, you're free in Christ. I'm like, well, here's the deal. If you're going to be a pastor, you're a pastor every generation. Boomers, Xers, millennials, Gen Zers. I'm like, the boomers don't like tattoos, man. They don't like tattoos at all. I'm like, it'd be good for you as a gospel minister. Keep your ink above your wrist so you can put sweaters on and hide it. That's not gospel truth. That's just me trying to help my buddy be a more effective minister. There's intentionality to our relationships. If I want someone to grow in Christ, we're going on a journey together. Think about Jesus Christ himself. When he has these 12 apostles, one of the apostles asked Jesus, like Peter asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. These are religious men. They're saying, Jesus, teach us how you pray, because you pray different than we pray. We want to learn how to do it. One of my Pauls is a man named Bob Sims, Angie's father. I was Bob's friend before I even started, dating Angie. I didn't become his friend just to get close to Angie. I didn't do that. Just, I was like talking to Bob, learning, like growing in Christ, and I'm like, hey-o. Like, so it was Jesus first, and then like the heart stuff. So I meet Bob, and I'm like, Bob, can I come up once a week on Sundays and just sit with you? He's like, sure. So I come up on Sundays after church. I drive an hour and a half north, and we go sit on his back deck by this big old rock, the big old rock back there. And we just pray together. Like 20, 30 minutes, nothing long. It's a little long, but he didn't tell me how to pray. He prayed with me. And over those weeks, I learned from this man how to listen to the Lord, how to ask from the Lord, how to wait on the Lord. When we got together, we ate together, we broke bread, we laughed, but there was also intentionality. Every time I came up there, we prayed together, and it shaped me forever. We need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Timothy's going to go from being this young 15-year-old kid by the end of the book of Acts. Paul will leave him in the mighty city of Ephesus to pastor that church. He grows into the man God has him become. If you want to form a person, you must be formed by the Christ. If you want to form a person, you must enter into relationship with people. You must give yourself away for the sake of the gospel. And if you want to form people, you must be intentional about that forming. It's easy to complain and say, people say about kids nowadays, these kids don't know how to work because we didn't teach them how to work. We made them. People say these kids don't know how to cook anymore because we didn't show them how to cook. If you don't teach them how, they're not going to know. In the same way, when it comes to our Christian lives, we don't know how to do this. We need the older to help us learn the way. So here's some application from these three truths. First, do you have a Paul in your life? If you don't have a Paul, first pray for someone. Lord, send someone in my life who's older than me, who's a godly person, who's farther on the road, who can hold my hand and show me the way. I prayed for years for Paul, didn't I, babe? Years I begged God, I just need people that are older than me. Because being a young man without a father, I longed for father figures. Here's some wisdom. Not a law, just wisdom. Men seek older men, women seek older women. Makes it a lot simpler. And when you see someone that you say, oh, this person is a godly person, I want to learn from them. Don't scare them away. It's like hunting a deer. Don't be like, ah, it's going to run away. Don't go up to someone. I did this one. I went to a guy in my church who I thought was a godly man. I'm like, hey, I don't got a dad. Would you be my dad? I'm like, wait, what's a weird thing to say to somebody? Extra present on Father's Day? What do you say? Well, that's a weird thing to say. Of course, he's like, oh, I don't think so, man. He's ran away. It was weird. Instead, go to somebody and just say, hey, I was wondering if we get coffee sometime. I see the way you follow Christ. I got some questions about your faith and about your journey. Get coffee. Come with a little notepad, maybe two or three questions. Ask your questions. Enjoy the coffee. Then leave. Say, maybe we got to get together next month. Maybe we'll see what God does over time. Maybe it'll go, maybe it won't. You just got to go step by step, see what God does. We need spiritual fathers. We need spiritual mothers. People who know. Listen, I'm 43 years old. I have a lot of Pauls in my life. I feel like call when I'm struggling being a husband. I feel like call when I'm struggling being a father. I feel like call when my faith is worn. I have people I call for all kinds of things in my life. I have many Pauls because I need many fathers. Do you have a Paul in your life? Two. Do you have any Timothys in your life? Or Timothets? Listen. We live in the city of Flint, Michigan, and here's the fact. A lot of our kids... I'm going to go back real quick. To the college kids in the house, find a Paul. When I was 20 years old, I needed Paul the most. Find Pauls now. Just because you're in college doesn't mean you don't need spiritual fathers and mothers. Going back to finding Timothy's, there are people who hold babies every week in this church, serve in our kids' ministry, serve in the youth ministry every week, who invest in the generations behind. It's needed. There are so many kids with so many hurts and needs, and you may be the person with the exact gifting and the gift set to be a blessing to them. Give yourself away for the gospel. Serve others. Sacrifice your time and energy for the sake of others. Maybe you have a niece or nephew in your family who has no mother or father. Step in there. Stand in that gap. As a young kid, I had no dad, but you know who stood in the gap? With my Uncle Johnny. He'd come over and play Nintendo with me and my brothers. I don't know if he liked Nintendo. But he'd come over, and I think he knew we were dying, and he just wanted to be in our lives for that moment. You can stay at home, watch TV all day, or you can give yourself away for the sake of the gospel. I want to end with this funny story. I had this older man, gave me my first job when I was a kid. Taught me about hard work. When I went to college, he paid half my first semester of college. This guy did. He helped me go. He helped me make it. When I got married, he came to the wedding. And he's coming to the receiving line. You know, everyone's shaking hands and giving you hugs. He comes through and he says to me, he goes, "Ernesto, I've invested 10 years of my life in you." I'm like, "Thank you. I love this old man. Thank you." He goes, "Whatever you do for the Lord, I get blessings for that." I'm like, "That's great. Good for you, man." He goes, "Don't mess this up for me." I'm like, "Come on, man." And he pulls me close. He goes, "I want you to know something." I'm like, "What's up?" He pulled me and he goes, "If you cheat on your wife, I'll kill you." And I'm like, and he pulled me and he goes, "I'm serious. I'll go to prison. I'll kill you." And I was like, "All right. Yeah, you go, get down the line." He goes to Angie and he tells her, "Angie, I told him, but I'll tell you too. If he does anything wrong, you call me. I'll kill him." He's like 85 years old now. I saw him a few weeks ago. And I love this old man. He cares for our family. He loves me so well. But whenever I'm at some point in the night, it's going to happen every time I see him. He'll go, "Ernesto." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Just remember." I'm like, "I know." He's like, "I'll kill you." It's a joke now, but it's just him telling me, basically, he goes, "I love you. I have poured so much of my life in you. I want you to make it. I want you to make it." I hear him cheering me on as I walk through this life, and it is a good feeling to have. So we all need Pauls. And we all have the opportunity to make Timothys, spiritual children. It's the only thing you'll truly leave behind. Lives you touched for the gospel, people you poured out your time and love for, and you gave them that little touch of Jesus, and it changes people. Give yourself away for the sake of the gospel. With that said, let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the story of Paul and Timothy, Lord. Your servant Paul took Timothy under his wing. We see Timothy just stand up and become the man you'd have him be. This is how it goes, Lord. It's just one generation teaching the next generation how to follow you. Help us have the wisdom, the foresight, the patience, the heart to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of others. For your gospel, for your kingdom, for your glory. Let us love people and open our lives that others may be grounded in you. Thank you so much for your word, O Lord. We're grateful for this time. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.